If you could think of one word, or perhaps I'll allow you two or three words, and you're to think about, and it's not an easy question this, to describe your relationship with the Holy Spirit, what would it be? Now, don't just immediately jump to words from the Bible. That might well be the word that works best for you. But think about, just for a moment, I'll give you a moment in quiet, just to think about what would be the shortest, either one word or two or three words that you could use to describe how your, that describes your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. What would it be? Any offers? Go on, Cherry. So what was the actual word again? Sensitive. Tentative. 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 Any other offers? Deepening. Do you wish to explain? Or? Deepening. Very good. Yeah. Friend. Friend. Wendy? Peaceful. I asked on the CAP have a kind of internal chat type thing, a little bit like email, but it's a bit more of a kind of chat feature. I put this question up because I knew I was going to be preaching, and I thought, I wonder what folk at CAP say. So a few people replied. We had relationship. We had essential. We had friend. We had elusive, we had aspirational, we had dependent, inconsistent. I think that was really talking not necessarily about the Holy Spirit being inconsistent, but about their approach to the Holy Spirit being inconsistent, and life-giving. Very varied, aren't they? Very varied responses. So I thought that was quite an interesting thought process to go through about how do we describe our relationship, how we feel about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to be looking into that a little bit today. We've been focusing as a church predominantly, if I've been paying attention, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of prophecy, gift of healing, gifts of words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gift of encouragement, gifts of tongues, etc., etc. But I thought we'd step back today, partly because Katie banned me from talking about gifts or fruit. So I thought we'd step back today and talk about who is the Holy Spirit. So if you look in the Bible, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is apparently mentioned, roughly speaking, 250 times. And the word that's mostly used for the Holy Spirit is a Greek word, because the New Testament is written in Greek, pneuma, which is P-N-E-U-M-A, which we get the words like pneumatic. So fill, it's like, it literally means the breath of God. So in the Greek, the breath of God is translated for us as the Holy Spirit. I thought that's quite nice. But there are a few occasions when a different word is used to describe the Holy Spirit, and we're going to have a look at those. Okay, so we're going to start by reading John chapter 14. So in the Church Bible, that's about 1082. Okay. And I know this is the right scripture to read, because when I read it this morning, I had a real sense of kind of God's presence. It's like, okay, you really want me to read this? So let's read this together. We're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 17. Just before I start reading it, this is Jesus speaking in preparing his disciples for his departure. So do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Another advocate. So Jesus is the first advocate, the Holy Spirit the second advocate. This word advocate is an interesting word. It's in the Greek, again, parakletos. And in most senses, it is a legal term. It's like an advocate we would think of in a legal context. In a court of law, you might have a lawyer who is your advocate in your case, in your trial. In most cases, that is the sense of which that word, parakletos, kind of has that sense of being your advocate, somebody who's speaking on your behalf. The word, essentially, it's a sort of spoken out role, speaks out on your behalf. So Jesus is speaking out for us as our first parakletos, advocate, and the Holy Spirit is coming as the second advocate. Okay, and that comes out also in John chapter 14, a little bit later on, 26 and 27, same chapter. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now that's interesting, because the verse there seems to imply that there's a slightly different nuance to this than just purely a legal advocate. Because in verse 27, it's talking about, I am giving you peace. Now, is this a change of thought, or is this part of the continued role of this advocate, the promised Holy Spirit? So hopefully you're starting to think, hold on a minute, this word advocate, parakletos, might have more meaning than just purely a legal meaning, like a barrister or a lawyer in a court of law. There's a sense of a peace bringer. So let's have a little look at that in a bit more detail in John chapter 15. There is a bit more. You don't have to go far. It's all here, same page. In fact, sorry, it is actually just over the page. John 15:26-27. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Now that seems to be going back to the first meaning, someone who speaks out on behalf of. Then in John 16:5-7, we have another reference to this. John 16:5-7. Where are you? 5. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to help you, to come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, this is coming out of reference to grief. They are grieving his departure. And he's saying, no, it is good that I'm going because I'm going to send this advocate. So as you can see, I hope you're realizing that the word advocate isn't quite capturing the whole essence of it. And some translations have used another word, comforter. Comforter and advocate don't seem to sit easily next to each other. You don't think of our lawyer, our barrister, our advocate in a law case being also our comforter in our grief. But there's very few references to parakletos, that word. All of those references where it said advocate, it was parakletos each time. But parakletos does come up in a couple of other places, not in John's writing. It does also come up in John again in 1 John 2 verse 1. But it also comes up in Matthew chapter 2 verse 18. So if those of you very speedy on your Bibles might be able to whiz across there. Does anybody know what that reference is in? What's going on in Matthew chapter 2, straight off the top of your head? Matthew chapter 2, verse 18. Again, it's here. Where are we? No, I'm in Malachi. No wonder I can't find verse 18. You can tell my glasses need updating, can't you? When you reach a certain age, the reading element of your glasses seems to adjust its prescription very regularly. Yes. Matthew chapter 2, verse 18. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted. That is the same word. Parakletos again. But here it's very much in the context of a comforter. So we have to hold those two as both being essentially, the meaning of the word has a double meaning, a dual meaning. There's a comforter when you're mourning or you're grieving or you need comfort. There's also someone who speaks out for you on your behalf. So, and also the same in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Same word, parakletos. Okay? So it's a complicated meaning. The Spirit replaces Jesus as an advocate and a witness, but also consoles the disciples. I thought that was quite helpful. So, why do we need a comforter? Why do we need a comforter? This is a good question, isn't it? So I was challenged I was doing a guided reading, scripture reading through the Bible app on my phone. I found one which was, I struggle with them because a lot of them are very American. They're very kind of intense. But this one was about praying dangerous prayers. A lot of it was very intense, but there were some awesome nuggets of gold hiding in among it. And the guy taking us through this guided reading on the Bible app was essentially asking us to think about, what do you mostly pray? If you imagine, if you kept a little prayer journal, every prayer you prayed during the week, you scribbled it down, what would they mostly be? Yeah, help me. Help. There's something that I'm worried about. Could you intervene, please? Somebody else I'm worried about. Could you help in that situation? It's we're looking for an element of our lives to remain comfortable, to be comfortable. We don't want to be outside of that comfortable space. And a lot of our prayer is about help us to stay in this lovely, comfortable space. We don't want to go out of that comfortable space. But my little challenge to you is, if you're in that comfortable space, you don't need a comforter. Do you? We only need a comforter, if we're in an uncomfortable place. Right? So there's a challenge here. Is God, we want more of the Holy Spirit, yeah? We want more of the Holy Spirit. We love having more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I absolutely love having more of the Holy Spirit in my life. But there is a little challenge here. If we want more of the Holy Spirit, perhaps we also need to be willing to be uncomfortable. And maybe our prayer life, when we think about what we're praying, is a little clue to ourselves about where our priorities are. And perhaps a challenge needs to be to challenge to ourselves is, Lord, use me. Lord, send me. Lord, take me into wherever you want me to go. I'm willing to be uncomfortable because I'm going to trust that you're going to comfort me. You're going to send your comforter to help me in that challenging space. I'm not just preaching to you guys, by the way. There's also a certain person quite close to standing just here who also needs to hear this message. Constantly, this little battle, I had this little image in my mind, and the whole of my life, you just feel like, yes, I'm trying to kind of press on towards God, but the travelator of my life is heading in the other direction. And when I'm working really hard towards God, I'm making some progress, but when I'm taking my foot off the gas a little bit and just sitting in that comfortable space, I'm slowly drifting backwards. And maybe we just need to be willing to step off the travelator and just head out into the uncomfortable spaces and encounter God in a more real way. Big challenge. Do you need a comforter at the moment? Do I need a comforter at the moment? Not enough. We need to be, perhaps the challenge here is to be a little bit bolder. And if you remember in those readings from John, there was one, which of those ones in John, and I unfortunately didn't write down which one it was, so you're going to have to help me here. Remember, it was John 14 is where we started. There was one of the ones, I don't think it was the long one, John 14, I think it was one of the ones that was a little bit later on. So John 14, 26 to 27, or John 15, 26 to 27, or John 16, 5 to 7, one of those, which was talking about being a witness. Which one was it? Who can find it first? Shall I read it out? Is 14, 26 to 27, was it that one? Or was it 15, 26 to 27? Or was it 16, 5 to 7? Help me out with my glasses. 15. Thank you. 15, 26 to 27, just the top of page 1084. When the Advocate comes, the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth that goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Okay. So, shall we pray a dangerous prayer? Shall we? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are guilty at times of seeking a comfortable life. Our prayers reveal the truth. Lord, give us the courage we need to pray, send me. Give us the courage we need to pray, use me, Lord. Give us the courage we need to step out and be your witnesses. Lord, we want more of your Holy Spirit in our lives. But not, we know, Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit to us. You have promised your Holy Spirit to us. But Lord, help us to be brave, to put aside the comforts of this life for the sake of your kingdom, knowing that you will comfort us, nevertheless, through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.